What's up?
Not much.
How's that water?
That, what? Shut up. That's the word. God, you suck. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 22nd, 2012. It's pretty late on August 22nd. But, yeah, I'm blowing it here. Hi, Azure guy.
Hey!
I was like, save me. Where's the lifeline here? Or what? Not lifeline, life preserver? What, that flotation thing that looks like the...
A life vest?
Lifesaver.
That's a candy, but it's also a floaty thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. How about a
noodle? They look like lifesavers.
I think that's why the candy's called lifesaver.
Right. I assume that the actual like lifesaver flotation device came first, but who knows?
I have a good idea. Anyway, hello.
I haven't had a lifesaver forever. Do they still make them?
Right?
Are they like?
Wow. You're right. When's
what happened to those?
Like the butter rum ones. And...
Yeah, those are all right. But what happened to them? They were popular
they're
when
there.
I was little.
I think they're there.
They used to have the commercial.
They don't advertise,
I think Pixar did the commercial for one. Remember there was a gummy lifesaver?
Oh, yeah, those were good.
Yeah, they weren't as good as real lifesaver.
You don't like candy.
I like that kind of candy.
Gummies?
No, I like hard, fruity candy for that reason.
So,
not even hard, but like
a Jolly Rancher.
Jolly Rancher's good. Laffy Taffy's the best. What the hell are we doing?
Hello, I don't know. Welcome to the Candy Cast.
Candy Cast. Talk about candy. What's your favorite candy?
You know, I got an idea. Let's talk about video games instead.
No. So how's it going? We got news.
Oh, we got news. We got all kinds of games we played
news,
this week.
People saying fun stuff. We have a lot of games we've been playing this week?
Yeah.
I guess there's Mario and Counter-Strike.
And Man vs. Man, we haven't talked about
actually
yet.
Actually have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, then. So, yeah, we'll get to that, and then we'll just do our... So we'll do news... our weekend gaming. 5 years and I still almost always accidentally call it our weekend gaming.
Rip off. Bullshit, fake, phony.
I accidentally call it, I don't even know which one's which anymore. I don't know which one's the McCoy and which one the decoy. then we'll do the releases, not be the show.
Okay.
So let's get going.
All right. EA did something dumb.
No, not them.
So in order to raise money for Project Honor, their very noble charity to support our troops, they decided to sell weapons.
I didn't hear this.
Oh, yeah. There was the Medal of Honor branded Tomahawk.
Whoa.
They also linked to other sites where you could buy guns and shit.
Oh, sweet.
So after it was like, hey, don't sell weapons to kids. They're like, fine, we're going to take it down, but you're all stupid.
Really?
Basically, this guy's like, his defense was like, look, if I, you know, I could separate the reality from the video game. Like, if we're doing a giveaway for Need for Speed and you win a Porsche, I'm not going to drive through a city doing 120 miles hitting pedestrians. It's like, look, asshole, that's great. But the purpose of a car is to drive around.
I mean...
And the purpose of a tomahawk is to fucking kill people. There's nothing else you could do with it.
I'm not good with it. That's why I am not a big gun person. I'm very anti-gun.
Yeah.
I don't like play guns. Like I don't know. I know some people are like, oh, you know, hunting, great sport. I'm like, you know, find a new sport. I'm sorry, but
we just lost 10 subscribers.
I know, honestly. So, like, you know, but like, you know, like, were they selling like automatic rifles and stuff?
I didn't look at all the weapons they were. Took all this stuff off the blog, but you could still get to it.
I mean, if it's Call of Duty weapons, then like, if it's like weapons that you can play in Call of Duty, like I'm assuming
it
is.
Medal of Honor. Please.
What the fuck ever. by the way, everyone's really excited for that game, EA.
Yeah.
People can't hold their shit together for Warfighter.
Running out to buy tomahawks, they're so
like,
excited.
Like, you know, you get an AK-47, whatever the hell, I don't even know what these guns are called. I don't know anything about
that
guns.
That was right, that's a gun.
Yeah, but like, you know, if you get one of those, there's nothing to do with that but kill people.
Right, like I said,
if
I win a Ferrari, my first instinct isn't going to be, I'm going to drive this thing recklessly and be like, no! No, I'm going to treat it like a baby and drive it gently
through the day. I'm not saying that everyone plays Medal of Honor, they're going to get a gun, they're going to kill people. But
no, I mean, yeah, I'm sure people who would have bought this would have like put it on the wall or something.
I don't know.
But still, it's a fucking weapon.
Just don't.
No.
How about no?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that's a sensitive issue right now or anything.
No,
Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, yeah, pretty dumb.
Well, from dumb to smart.
It, you know, it makes me feel better that their game's going to bomb.
Yeah, right? So, good luck with that one.
There's always that. Good luck, yeah.
So Blizzard, in a very generous move, is unlocking all races.
This isn't the Blizzard news I was hoping for, but are they? I heard that Pandaria are going to be unavailable.
Yeah, even when Pandaria comes out next month, even they'll be unlocked. Like, you could own Vanilla WoW and make a panda.
Wow. Well, it's not really Vanilla WoW.
You know what I mean? No expansions WoW, at all. Yeah. So, I mean, that's super cool. Like, even if you don't have Cataclysm, you can make a Worgen.
No, like, that's cool. I agree. I mean, why not? So, like, what do you... So, when you buy the expansion, what you're really buying...
is the level 85 to 90 content.
Right. Because, like, even when Cataclysm came out, like, all, like, a lot of that content was free.
Yeah.
Because, like, to me, like, the most important stuff with that was, like, the redoing...
The 1 to 60 redo. Right.
And that was free.
Yeah.
So, what you were buying basically, there was 80 to 85 and
for Cataclysm,
races.
Yeah.
But now you're not even buying races. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
That's cool. I was basically feel like the expansions should be cheaper. I don't know. Whatever.
All right, you want to talk about the Blizzard guy who made a boo-boo? I didn't write down the names. I probably should have.
Yeah, the names are kind of
the lead designer, Jason Wilson. That's him. No, is he?
Jason Wilson's my editor.
It's something, Jason, maybe?
I'll find this, you jerk.
Jason! Jason!
Press
basically,
X to Jason.
A guy who worked in the first two Diablos, like, called out some criticisms of Diablo 3 in an interview, and he called him a fucking loser.
Yeah, on Facebook, he's like,
fuck that loser. That's
fuck it. That loser. What, do you think no one would know that he said this?
Yeah, he regrets it, says he expects better from self. He thinks David's a great guy.
Jay Wilson. David Brevik.
That was close.
Yeah. David Brevik was the guy who was, he was the director of Diablo 1 and 2. Then he left. Is he the guy who does Torchlight now or what?
I don't know.
What does he do now?
I mean, he's right. The game has some problems. And he even, in his apology letter, Jay even admits, we're working on stuff.
And, like this guy says in his apology, which, you know, whenever there's an apology like this, you have to wonder, like, how apologetic is he?
Well, his apology very quickly turned into, look at all these great things we're doing for patch 1.04, right.
Whatever
it is.
But, I mean, it's still, it's kind of sad. When a grown man would say that to another grown man on Facebook, like, I kind of expect, I don't even expect that from teenagers. I mean, I guess I don't say I expect that, but I shake my head when teenagers would be like, fuck you on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
When you're like when you're a public figure like this, how dumb are
you? No one will notice this or scrutinize
it. I mean,
I'm only the lead designer of a very popular game that's talked about all the time.
Sometimes you think, like, oh, why aren't our games more mature? It's because people like this are making them sometimes.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Fuck you. Oh, my. What do you say again?
Fuck that loser.
Fuck that loser. Then he goes on to talk about how much he owes him. Fuck that loser. What a harsh thing to say. It wasn't like, man, that's like, you're going out there. That is an insult, man. That is harsh.
I'm about to come back. My Facebook was hacked.
Yeah, honestly.
It wasn't me.
I can understand, like, look, oh, he's criticizing your game and your team and all this stuff, but fuck that loser. Man.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you shouldn't say anything.
You're just, like, out of reality.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on Blizzard too much.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's nuts. So, yeah, he had to do his big apology, and I don't know. I think it was bad.
Yeah.
I think it was another bad PR stunt for... It's funny how much negativity there is with Diablo 3, right? Well, which is a game I enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
it's, again, we enjoyed it for what it is. People are pissed that it's not this thing they thought it would be.
But I don't understand, because to me, Diablo 2 was it also.
Well, didn't, like, Blizzard admit that most people play Diablo 3 single player anyway?
Right. So that's why, I knew something was wrong, like, leading up to it. Everyone's going on and on about the multiplayer, this and that. And I'm like, and to me, Diablo 2 multiplayer is always a thing. It wasn't the main point.
Right, it's not why I played.
It's cool that it was there, but, you know, whatever. It's all right. I don't know. I kind of thought I was wrong, but I guess maybe I vindicated a little bit. But so now they have this Paragon thing, which is weird. So basically it's like an extra 100 levels after you already hit the level cap.
Like,
but there's no, like...
There's no... Basically, they just up the level cap, but there's no new moves. Like, you're building your stats. They made it sound like reaching max Paragon is the equivalent of having a level 99 character.
Okay, does that make the game easier, then?
I guess. Yeah, to me, the problem they need to face with the difficulty curve, from what I've heard, because I haven't played Inferno, I don't have a level 60, but it sounds like... You're fighting a bunch of bad guys who are, like, level 63. I'll throw a number out there. And they're dropping level 60 weapons. You have a level 61 weapon. And if you, in theory, kill these guys, they'll drop a level 63 weapon. You know what I mean? Like, you never, you're always behind the curve on what weapon you need.
Right.
And that's why everyone goes to the auction house, mm-hmm. which is broken by their own admission that they're trying to fix.
Yeah, there's so much negativity with Diablo 3. I'm kind of sick of it.
Yeah.
Can everyone just be done with this? I don't know.
Like I said, I don't know why you have to, it has to be a game you play forever.
It's just Diablo. Move on. Please let me go.
It's finite. There's 5 classes and 60 levels each. Just play those.
Yeah, I don't know why you still need to be playing Diablo 3 now. Like, if they released an update, and, you know, like the PvP or whatever, and there's the expansion. Right. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to play against the expansion pack, probably. That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. Next.
On Live was weird this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, let me give the On Live story. Basically, what happened, On Live filed for bankruptcy. The company effectively shut down. Then another company called On Live, that owned by an investment firm, bought it, hired back half of the staff, and operations continue uninterrupted. It's
weird.
The one shady aspect to it is the supposition is the way they filed bankruptcy, it meant everybody lost their stock options, which made the company cheaper to buy.
Yeah.
So there's that going. But the people who got back all have stock options. The people who aren't even hired back, who help with the transition, get stock options. I mean, it was either this or the company goes under, it sounds like. What pissed me off was the shoddy as shit reporting that went on with this. It was terrible. Tweets of, On Live is shutting down today. Brian Fargo, the guy from In Exile, tweeted that he got an email from a guy who said, On Live is done. Like, no sourcing, complete knee-jerk reaction, oh my god, we need hits, everybody else has this story up. It took all day for everyone to figure out what the hell was actually going on. It was so just dumb. God, did it piss me off. Because everyone's freaking out about it. And they're like, oh, what a bunch of evil pricks. They fired everybody. What a bunch of assholes. Fuck those people. It's like, hang on, you don't even know what's going on. I mean, yeah, like I said, there might be some slightly shady things here. But like, the first thing was, you know, the CEO of On Live was absolutely remorseless as he fired everybody. But then, like, the next thing when it came out was, yeah, he was actually really upset about it. Like, he's like, look, it's my fault. I'm really sorry that this is going this way, but this is the thing I could do to save the company. I should have done a better job. I'm sorry. Like, oh.
I mean, it's interesting to me how much of a story this is. People seem to be invested in On Live for some reason, even though they don't use it.
People like the idea of it, but
they like the idea, but they don't want to actually use On Live.
I think the most people, they feel it's a good idea that's not ready yet because we don't have the broadband for it in most parts of the country. Like,
basically, the big problem that they have the money is that they have too many servers right now, more than they need.
Right.
And that's always the thing, too, where people are like, why doesn't this game have more servers when it launches? The people were mad at Valve because they didn't have enough servers when Man vs. Machine launched.
Yeah, but that's when you get into a situation like On Live has.
Well, you can't just buy a zillion servers right away. Mm-hmm. And then once it peters out, as it always does, you're stuck with all these servers.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's...
Yeah. Do a better job, Internet.
Yeah.
We were talking about Valve making a movie last week. Apparently, it's a Dota 2 esports documentary.
This is weird to me.
Did you watch the trailer?
No.
Oh, I thought it looked interesting.
Really? I mean, I don't mean to stereotype these people, but these guys are kind of the scum of the competitive gaming scene.
Who?
Of MOBA players?
Oh, I wouldn't know that.
I assume they're kind of jerks. I mean, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
remember when you played LOL?
Yeah. Well, we are playing with dudes. We're not playing with the competitive people who take it seriously.
Again, I'm stereotyping more, but these people, I had a friend who kind of was involved in that scene a lot. He used to travel with them. He didn't compete, he did the videography for a lot of these things. These people are kind of messed up.
Well, it's
kind of weird.
The characters who are the focus of this documentary, like, the ones like the Asian kid whose parents disapprove because he should be studying harder. Yeah. There's the one whose family just disowned him.
I mean, these parents might have a point.
Yeah.
This is not a sustainable career.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I found interesting. They all call it a career. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know, I see it like entering a contest, like going on a game show once a year and seeing if you win some money, but I don't know, I'm curious to see this documentary to learn a little more
about it. But I mean, like, you wouldn't watch a documentary about McDonald's that was done by McDonald's. Right?
Well,
this is a documentary about Dota 2.
It would be made by
the people who are making Dota 2.
It's not. It would be a documentary about people who eat at McDonald's made by McDonald's.
Oh,
there's a bit of a distinction there.
okay, still, would you like? Who's McDonald's gonna pick for their documentary? Are they gonna show all the fat people who are gonna have a heart attack next week?
Well, that analogy doesn't really. Okay, carry
you were
over.
Just complaining about like integrity or something with the journalists. You don't see a conflict of interest here.
It's not a journalistic endeavor. It's a documentary made for entertainment purposes.
Documentaries, by their nature, are more than entertainment.
That's what you think.
What is that? What is it? You just twist words. That's what I think. What do you mean? You have no problem with the company making a documentary about itself.
You think when Michael Moore makes a documentary, he's being completely honest?
No, he has an agenda.
Mike... You didn't even watch the trailer. It's not a documentary about Dota 2.
It's about its players, okay.
It's about
it's a promo piece, though. It's
these guys weren't always Dota 2 players. They showed up for this tournament.
I'm not going to watch an hour and a half long commercial for Dota 2.
It's not a commercial
sure
for Dota 2.
Sure it is.
Watch the trailer later.
I'm going to watch this trailer right now.
It's long. It's like five minutes. Sure it,
what the hell? Why is a trailer 5 minutes long?
I don't know, because it's like a preview of the movie.
If Valve can do no wrong, can't they?
It's not.
You can't do any wrong, can they?
Valve didn't like... People working for Valve didn't make the movie. They hired a production company to make it.
So who's releasing? How come you said Valve's making the movie then?
They're paid releasing for the it.
That's not... You're making the movie.
Yeah, but...
Come on, AJ.
You're not...
This isn't great. I'm not saying this is the ultimate evil, but it's stupid.
You could think that. That's fine. It's stupid. I don't understand why you think it's like this propaganda piece.
Sure it is. Just like... What? It's definitely it's not being made. It's not being made because like we think that this is really interesting, and we think people need to see it. It's so they can promote Dota too.
Okay, fine.
That's fine. Right. It's just like that. That's what the meet the pyro and all. That's all they were. Those are just to promote things. It's fine. But I mean, I don't want people to call this something it's not.
Okay.
It's a commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you're mad. You're mad about this.
Because
I
think you didn't
that's
see
what you
it.
Do is you give up.
You're judging something you haven't seen.
I'll watch it right now.
No, I don't want to see it.
Probably stupid.
It's going to be 5 minutes of you going, huh.
I'm not
going
to watch a five-minute trailer, I'll tell you that.
Okay, good. Then don't watch it.
Don't be mad.
I'm not.
Don't
just
be pissy.
Okay. Let's go to the next story. Amalur was going to be free to play. That was going to be its big bombshell announcement when it was getting close to coming out. Do you think that would have saved
it? No one gives a shit.
Really?
Really! Doesn't matter if you launch free to play or not. It's still not. How many people would play that
it
game?
It would have been the first kind of like AAA MMO to start free to play.
I guess. I don't know. I don't see why it would make that big a difference. It still would look just way too generic. It's just another fancy.
But at least, like, there's no barrier to entry. You might actually.
Yeah, so like World of Warcraft, you can play for 20 levels free. Everybody who would play on more wouldn't get much further than that. So it's not
maybe.
That different.
Did you know, see, in a tangential note, apparently, Ubisoft claims that, like, 96% to 94% of their games are, like, what's the way I want to put this?
Pirating.
Piracy accounts for 94% to 96% of people playing a game.
That seems a little high.
Yeah.
I can't believe that many people who play their games are that savvy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I read that too, and I was like, no. Please.
That's a little pessimistic.
So you mean to tell me that, like, when a game sells 1 million copies... There's like 90-some million copies out there that are pirated. How there's that many people playing games?
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense. Numbers don't add up.
Those numbers may not have been right in my head, by the way. Mike.
What?
EA wants you to tell them what the next Dragon Age should be called.
Well, their name ideas are terrible.
A supposed survey for Dragon Age 3 asked for some subtitles that include Breach, Inquisition, Inquisitor... Exarch and Apocrypha.
Now, I guess Apocrypha is some sort of Catholic term with the Bible.
Which, yeah, let's put that in our fantasy game, then.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I don't know what an Exarch is.
I don't know. Is it like a...
Exodus?
No.
Or Exodus leader?
Like a monarch.
It must have something to do with Inquisition, because all these things have something to do with it. I don't know. And there's like a little plot summary of the game too, and it's something to do with the circle and some. I don't know. It's like that's the problem with these sequels. Like in Dragon Age 1, it's like the Armageddon scenario, which a lot of Bioware games love to do. Like like Mass Effect, it built up to that in Mass Effect 3.
Right.
Dragon Age, they did it already. It's like they kind of hit the climax in the first one, the first act.
Yeah, it's like where else you go.
Yeah, no, it's like these. Here's some other things you can do.
I like your point that they went. Subtitle, no subtitle, and now they're back to a subtitle.
I don't know why they need a subtitle.
Yeah.
Like, what if Mass Effect 3 had a subtitle? Why? No one cares. Your subtitle's not going
to
sell
copies. Why do people have to put subtitles and everything? I mean, Mass Effect was Mass Effect, Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3. Yeah. I wasn't like, I can't differentiate. What?
There's like, the only time it was like, I can understand why that was like when Assassin's Creed had to do it. Because they didn't want to call Brotherhood and
right, thing but then the next one three. Is Assassin's Creed 3.
Right, and but like you know why they consider like the one a more of a real sequel, even though like the other ones aren't lesser in weird ways. That's a weird numbering convention, and it makes sense, but it's weird.
Yeah,
like you know why they did it, but if you try to explain it to somebody, like when you play the games, you kind of get it. It's like when Mario Kart, like all of a sudden it's Mario Kart 7. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, New Super Mario Brothers. This doesn't make sense anymore. The third New Super Mario Brothers is New Super Mario Brothers 2. And there's another one coming out, and it's just New Super Mario Brothers U. They should have just called this one New Super Mario Brothers 3D. Like, you can't be like, sometimes we're going to designate it by numbers, sometimes we're going to designate it by system. Okay.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't understand.
I'm confused. Well, they couldn't call it New Super Mario Bros. Wii 2, because it's not on the Wii.
Yeah, they're going to have an upward battle with Dragon Age 3, aren't they?
They have a lot to prove.
Is it going to be like, is Hawk the main character again?
I don't assume so.
I don't know, I mean...
Not knowing how Dragon Age 2 ended.
I barely remember how Dragon Age 2 ended, but I thought it was open ended. I thought it was kind of like, you know, there comes the sequel.
It'd be kind of neat, maybe, like he joins your party or something.
I almost want to be a silent protagonist again.
I like it.
I kind of do. I don't know. I mean,
I like the Mass Effect style dialogue thing they added to 2 as well, but especially when you look at, like how they did like the Kinect dialogue things in Mass Effect 3. I think that would work. That works better for a silent protagonist because then you, in effect, are the voice of the protagonist.
Yeah. It'd be cool if they can almost bring the origins back. That was a cool thing.
Yeah, that was great, especially for replayability.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what happens when you spend 5 years on the one game and then like 9 months on the other. But Dragon Age is just weird.
Don't worry, everybody. EA buying BioWare won't affect anything. Yeah. By the way, 2 weeks from now we're releasing Dragon Age 2.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Done.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's finished. Good to go. Okay. Hope you like these 3 dungeons we made for it. Got one city.
Whoopsie.
I liked how they upgraded the combat in it, but everything.
Yeah.
I like the characters fine, I guess, but yeah. All right. What are we talking about Dragon Age 2 for? What's next?
Skyrim. What? Let's keep the RPG thing going. Apparently, they've trademarked Hearthfire.
Oh.
Which sounds very much like the next expansion.
What do you think that would be?
Well, the supposition is Hearthfire takes place in the ninth month of the Elder Scrolls thing. That Hearthfire is September.
Oh, it's a month, okay.
Yeah. Also, during Hearthfire is when the unofficial Necromancer's Holiday occurs. So the guess is now this is going to be a zombie-focused thing.
Ah, boo.
What? I mean, yeah, ew. No, but I mean, the thing is, you're already fighting a lot of zombies in Skyrim, so I'm kind of hoping this isn't it. I don't mind going after a big necromancer.
I don't like the expansions are like the vampire one and the zombie one. Just make a place. Zombies, Christ.
I know how much you love zombies.
The only one who's allowed to do it anymore is Naughty Dog. Naughty Dog's getting a pass. Because they're Naughty Dog.
Mike, you're done with zombies like Sony is done with the Liverpool studio.
Yes, good job.
Thank you. Yeah, one of the oldest game developers, formerly I don't know how you say it, Psygnosis?
What did they like make back in the day?
Wipeout. All the Wipeouts. And other stuff. But pretty much Wipeout. They were even rumored to be working on a Wipeout for the PS4, but I guess not.
Yeah, so much. So, for
I
that.
Mean, that sucks that one like such a storied studio got shuttered. I don't know why. I mean, I feel like the Wipeout game's been doing pretty good of late.
Have they? I don't know. Wipeout has kind of always been off my radar.
I mean, as good as a launch title for the Vita could have done.
I guess.
But I wonder what this also means for the franchise. I mean, it's still a big franchise.
Get somebody else to make.
I guess.
Wipeout. Not to try to, you know, belittle their achievements with the series, but someone else can do that.
Fair enough. In an inverted story, out of nowhere, Black Isle Studios has reopened. But, yeah, like, no one who ever worked at Black Isle was there. Like, I don't know what this means.
Yeah, I think someone just got the name.
Pretty much.
The Black Isle specifically, that they became Obsidian.
More or less, yeah.
Because these are, like, this is, like, Planescape Torment. Is this Icewind Dale?
Yeah, and Fallout.
Was this Fallout?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, they were a big studio back
then. Yeah, that's why it made sense that Obsidian was doing New Vegas.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
The final story is get out the streamers, kid. There's been a Kinect price drop from $149 to the low, low price of $109.99.
I mean, it is a 25% price drop, or at least. Yeah, it's just so weird that they wouldn't go to an even 100.
He could swing that 10 bucks, make it a nice even $99.99 for Christmas.
I mean, hey, that's 10 bucks you're losing with these purses.
I guess so.
What is?
But, yep, there you go. So, when Dance Central 3 comes out, which apparently is the only game worth playing on a Kinect anymore, you'll have that.
There's no game worth playing on Kinect.
Child of Eden, I'll stand by that one.
If you say so.
Okay.
Alright,
what do you want to talk about first as far as games go?
Let's talk about Mario.
New Super Mario.
I mean, the game's kind of getting, it's kind of getting shit on a
well,
little bit, isn't it?
It's, I feel like the universal opinion is, it's a very well-made game, but it's getting old. I mean, you said an interesting thing the other day, how it's amazing how little these games are strayed from the original NES Mario Brothers, which on one hand means, yeah, they really got this right in the first place, but again, it hasn't gone anywhere.
The thing, the problem is that all the 2D Mario games, like way back when, they were all different from each other in ways, and maybe not necessarily in the way they played, but they were visually very different. Like, Mario 2 is obviously a weird one, but Mario 3 looks very different from Mario 1.
Yeah.
Has different power-ups and all that stuff. Has a very different art style. Super Mario World has a very different art style than those ones even.
Mm-hmm.
And those are like the three classic 2D Mario
games.
Right,
and what's happened is they've homogenized the art style pretty much since 64. And so it's never going to change. I mean, what could they do to change it?
It was okay when you had New Super Mario Bros. 1. It was like, okay, this is cool. Because it's
kind of
like
a throwback.
It's a throwback, right? Yeah, it's like it's like the Mega Man 9 thing. And then they did it on a Wii. People were like, "Cool, it has 4-player co-op." That was kind of the big deal there. And this is just it again,
right?
And it hasn't been very long. And also, there's another one coming out later this year,
right?
So it's weird. And again, the game itself is fun. They know how to make a 2D Mario game.
Yes. It's a very good game.
Right. And I like the coin aspect of it. I do. It's not like, it's not a, ridiculous.
It's just weird because it's just kind of there.
It's like they knew they had to do something.
Yeah. But
and
that's
what they did.
It's not like I'm saying like, oh, the plot's terrible. But like, usually they have some kind of contrivance in the game for why you're collecting an ass ton of coins.
Would it really kill them to just not have it be Peach got kidnapped? I feel like they think it has to literally be that every time.
Like, even if it was just like a different story, like that could have been interesting.
No one would like be like, I'm not buying this shit if Princess Peach doesn't get kidnapped.
Yeah, right.
Like, hell with that. I mean,
the Koopa kids are teenagers now.
But like, why are like, do they really have to do like, okay, we have to make sure that we have Fire World again, and Island World, and Snow World. Like, oh, you could, come on.
I mean,
I guess geographically
things.
It makes sense. Like, I guess Mario's just going to the same places every time, right? It's because it's the same straight shot to Bowser's Castle.
Do this
shit
again, yeah.
But I mean, like, the world map looks exactly the same. So I know why people are kind of, like, tired of it. I'm not mad that it exists.
Yeah,
it's
like I said,
fun.
It's still a good game. I'm playing a lot of it.
But, yeah, it is just like, you want them, because usually when you think, to like the Mario games and like the core Mario games, and it's to a point now where I kind of consider New Super Mario Bros. Like not being main series stuff,
right?
Because it's not quite up there with the quality.
Mean, whenever a new Mario game comes out, it's like holy shit, new Mario game. This past Sunday it's Sunday. Oh yeah, Mario, let's go get that.
I mean, and another problem is that we have Super Mario 3D Land already,
which
was
is
really good.
Good.
It's better than this. It is.
Oh yeah,
it just is. It's more creative and all that stuff. It's fun.
I know you weren't bothered by this, but the co-op is dumb.
The co-op's fine.
No.
You're mad because the camera focuses on one. That's no different than when you play New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
But you're on a giant TV, not a little 3DS screen.
So yeah, the camera only focuses on the one player at a time.
But it's like
when you played, like, Sonic and somebody's tails, except it's not that fast, so it's okay.
Yeah, but you're still dying.
And when you die, you become a bubble.
But the thing is, there was no reason to do that. Why couldn't everyone just get their own independent view?
I'm sure there's not reason. I'm sure it's processing, whatever. But I mean, it's fun.
Processing.
Do you think, what do you... I mean, to be fair, and they said this, that you know, they only ever do one of these for system. And it just kind of happened that these all came out kind of quickly.
Yeah.
I still think that, I think all this would have been solved if the Mario game for the Wii U was a 3D Mario game.
Right.
And not New Super Mario, even if it was Mario Galaxy 3, instead of New Super Mario Brothers Wii U. Wii U. Or whatever, just Wii U. And let's be fair, these games so, like, you know, ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to do well.
So they kind of had to make, they had to make one. And remember how, like, remember back when we were doing the sale charts all the time, New Super Mario Brothers for the DS was there month after month after month after month. Throughout the system's whole life cycle. So why not release it early in the life cycle as you can?
Yeah.
So that's why.
I understand
why.
The business of it, but I mean, if you're going to argue that, then you're saying, oh, they made a Mario game out of a business decision?
Yeah, ew. Well, yeah, I always do. I mean, it is weird because we're kind of used, especially back when, like, before Sunshine came out, when, like, you know, from 1992 to 2002, there was one real Mario game.
Yeah.
You had Mario 64, and that was it. It's different.
Yeah. Although it's interesting, when you talk about the 3D effect of it in the 3DS, it's weird how when you jack up the 3D slider, the background not only gets deeper, but blurrier. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize the 3DS cool. could affect the software like that with the 3D slider. The thing is, if you jack it up all the way, the background's so blurred you can't even see it. So I found, like, really? Kind of being in the middle.
I'll tell you what, one thing, as I've been using my 3DS a lot more, I become very good at, like, knowing how to hold a system without thinking about it.
Oh, yeah, it's not a problem at all.
And even when it kind of comes off center for a second, that used to be really disorienting. Now it doesn't really bother me. Yeah, it's like,
fix it.
But look, I'm not mad this game exists.
No, I'm just saying
I know why
they can't do it again, I think is my point.
And they won't. I mean,
I hope.
They're not going to do
another. I mean, do you think there will be a new Super Mario Bros. 3 in 2 years?
No. Because this one will sell for 5 years.
Yeah, that's part of it, so.
It'll be fine. You can do other things, too. I mean, you can do plenty of other Mario games. I would like to see, like, another Yoshi's Island. I know they made Yoshi's Island DS. People weren't all that hot about it. I will say this, like, I've been playing Yoshi's Island a lot lately on the DS. And compared to that, this is a short game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, these all are, these newer ones. Compared to, like, I mean, Yoshi's Island's huge. When you think, when I sit down and, like, look at it now, like, man, that is a lot of game there.
Mm.
All right,
Man versus Machine.
Man versus Machine. Team Fortress 2's co-op mode. It's really cool.
It's really good.
Because it's kind of, it's like zombies or horde mode, but it's not in a way.
Just by virtue of having the dynamic of the different classes in Team Fortress, helps change it up.
Right. But it is almost, there is a kind of a turret defense kind of thing to it.
A little bit with the engineers.
Not so much that, but that the enemies are on a set path.
Right.
And it's very much about killing them before they get here, you know? Because they're carrying a bomb or whatever, so you have to stop them there. And, you know, it's pretty cool, and you're not going to be able to beat it easily, especially when you do the man-up mode, because it's harder. And you know, you want your rewards. It is challenging. And there is, like, all this kind of leveling up stuff. It's cool. It's very well done. It's probably the best kind of this mode I've seen.
Oh, easily. Yeah, the other thing, like, I find interesting is it's almost part of the strategy is just figuring out what classes do we need right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of sucks for your pickup groups, because you're in a server, and there's, like, three soldiers, and then six guy joins the server, and he's like, I'm going to be soldier. It's like, no, don't do that.
Right. But it seems like you definitely need at least one engineer, always.
Oh, yeah, and you should really have a medic, too.
Yeah, well, sometimes... Especially in the later ways, these people are damage sponges. You need people to hurt, you know?
Yeah, you need to get to the later waves.
I know. It's hard.
They also think it sucks. They have, like, the giant versions of all the classes and robots. I hate the scout ones, because they just pick up the bomb and they're gone.
Yeah, they're very fast.
Usually come in behind, like, a group of heavies, and you can't target them.
And then, like, you have, like, the big ones that have, like, three medics with them. That's hard, because there are, like, three medics with Ubers ready.
No, what you got to do there is you get a pyro to air blast the medics away.
Right, exactly.
See? Yeah, strategy. Let's think. I find myself doing strategies I always knew existing in Team Fortress, but they really weren't practical against other people. But against these relatively simple AI bots, they're really fun to pull off.
You know what bugs me about it, though? Huh. Why is it red versus blue?
Yeah, I know. I was kind of hoping you'd be like three red guys and three blue guys versus the grays.
The robots are blue. Why?
I don't know.
Makes no sense. Just change that, please.
Yeah.
I don't, like, why are you doing that? It's called Gray Man. It's, like, the whole point is it's the gray team, I thought.
I know.
it's a small complaint, but fix it.
The lore, Michael, the lore.
Exactly. Counter-Strike, go. Counter-Strike,
go.
It's Counter-Strike. It's cool. It's very nostalgic.
I played it on the 360 today.
Now, how's that?
I actually really liked it.
That's weird.
It played well.
I gotta say, playing Counter-Strike on 360
sounds weird. Yeah, it is, but,
You buy it, or is it
done? No. The trial just gives you 45 minutes, so I just went through that. No, it plays remarkably well. I mean, the playing field's even, because everyone's on a controller, at least.
Yeah, right.
And I know, I can't say, well, clearly that guy's using a wall hack, as I usually do when I play Counter-Strike.
It kind of scares me thinking about people with those voice things, like the kind of stereotypical Xbox Live user with a lot of downtime to talk.
It wasn't too bad.
Okay.
So we played the kind of typical Counter-Strike modes, the bomb, the defusal, the hostage rescues. But today I played the one mode called Arms Race.
Is this a new thing?
Yeah, it's really cool. I didn't like it at first because it was just weird, but once I got into it, the way it works is it's still team deathmatch, but you respawn right away.
Whoa.
The way it works, you start off with just like the basic submachine gun. Every time you kill someone, you automatically go to the next weapon. And the goal is to kill one person with each of the 26 different weapons in the game.
Ooh.
So you'll go through the submachine guns, then you'll go through the shotguns, then the rifles.
What happens if you die? Do you have to start over?
If you die, no, you just respawn. But if someone knifes you, they steal a level from you.
Yeah, cool.
But the final weapon you get is the knife.
Ah.
So, like, it's always comes down to, like, that guy, like, you see he's on 26, and so you're like, oh, fuck. And you just see this guy coming at you, go, shoot him, or else he's gonna win.
That sounds neat.
It's really, really cool. And what's nice, too, is when you respawn, you're, like, ghosted for a few seconds so that they can't camp your spawn.
But it's still team deathmatch.
Yes.
Even though victory is really dependent on one person on your team.
Yeah, but you're still playing for the team.
Okay.
Like, it'll say counter-terrorist win at the end. Okay. But it's interesting, because, I mean, when I play Counter-Strike, I never take shotguns, because I suck with the shotguns.
Right.
But this forces me to use the shotguns, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting.
Right.
It's a good way to practice all the weapons.
That's cool. But it's fun. It's weird how, like, Team Fortress 2 and Counter-Strike Go are very relevant right now.
Relevant.
Yeah, sorry. I know I said that wrong as soon as it came out. But yeah, that's kind of weird. It's like it's 1998 again.
Woo! That was 14 years ago.
Yeah, don't say that. right.
Yeah. Wow.
What was the other one we want to talk about?
I played the demo for Dust and Elysian Tale, which is the 2D beat 'em up thing on Xbox Live Arcade.
How was that?
Very pretty.
Was it fun, though? I know it's
pretty. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but again, as kind of goes to these games, I don't know how much longevity there is in pushing
Jeff
X a lot.
Jeff seemed to think it was repetitive.
Yeah, I could see it getting like that. It's one of those games where the light and it comes and just making cool looking combos that flash about the screen.
I have no problem with that. So, yeah, it's surprising how far that can take me sometimes.
Right, exactly. The other one I played was the demo for Sleeping Dogs, which I feel is not very representative of the game. You don't get any of the open world, none of the driving.
But you get the combat, which is basically Batman.
Yeah, you get two combat missions and one of them has some gunplay in it. You also get to do some foot chase sequences, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
It has kind of a free-running thing, where if you just hit A before you go over something, you'll vault it or climb it or whatever. Right. So it's kind of like a timing thing. Yeah, the combat, straight-up Batman, with a little bit of, remember that game Mad World for the Wii?
Yeah.
It has that, where you grapple a guy that you can throw his face into a furnace or a fan or something.
Do you want to buy Sleeping Dogs now?
More so than I did earlier today. Like I said, I'd be curious to see exactly how all the open-world stuff plays out.
Right.
The story seemed interesting. Although it does that goofy thing that like all foreignly located games do, where they say like just one or two words in Cantonese and the rest is in English,
right?
Which at least Assassin's Creed kind of explained as like glitches the animus. With this game, it's like we curse in Cantonese sometimes, and sometimes we say full sentences, and sometimes we don't. It's like
I gotcha.
Yeah, pick a language. But yeah, it's interesting how this game came about. I mean, you know the history of it, right?
Right. It was originally True Crime Hong Kong.
Well, even before that, it was just its own thing.
Oh, really?
Activision picked it up. They're like, oh, we want to revitalize the True Crime brand. We'll put True Crime on this thing you guys are making. And then Activision's like, never mind. Square Enix picks it up, lets them finish it, and apparently pushed them to make a better PC port, too.
Square Enix has kind of been... It's weird how they're kind of better with...
The Western stuff?
Everything is not Japanese lately.
Yeah.
Funny. But it's funny because the game's reviewed well.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny that almost never existed.
It's come out still at a relatively quiet period, but if this came out like a month ago when there was nothing...
You think? Is that coming out the same day? What do you think is going to sell better, this or Darksiders?
Well, I don't know, because Darksiders at least has an established franchise.
What wasn't the most... It wasn't...
Right, but...
The most popular.
People at least still know what that is. I really want to try that game, though. It sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah, I do, too, but I feel like I have to play Darksiders 1 first.
That, too, which can be got pretty cheap right now.
Yeah, for sure, but... All right.
But, yeah.
Is that it? Is there something else?
Is that it?
Is that it? Yeah, I guess.
Dust. Speaking of dust, Dust 514.
Right, a different now, Dust.
I'm going to be careful here. Apparently, I thought there was an NDA on this, but then everyone's preview stories came out today, so I'm going to go with that. So Dust 514 is the free-to-play first-person shooter for the PlayStation 3 that is set in the EVE Online universe. In fact, on the same servers. Apparently, next weekend's when they're going to flip the Switch that actually fully integrates the two.
Mm-hmm.
So you can call in, like, Orbital Strike from EVE players and get missions from EVE players. So all I really got to play was just basically some team deathmatch matches. As it is right now, it does kind of play like your kind of typical Unreal Engine-powered, you know, military futuristic shooter.
Right.
Plays well. I mean, I don't like playing FPSs on the PlayStation controller as it is. Although it does support Move and supports keyboard and mouse,
which
I find interesting. The neat thing that you're either going to like it, love or hate this, I haven't decided where I fall yet, but when you're buying new weapons for your guy, you're literally buying like a package of weapons, like 50 guns.
Mm-hmm.
The game's mythology is that you're clones. So when you're fighting, you're trying to deplete the other team's clone reserves. So this means when you die, you come back to life, but you have to now take another gun, another stim pack, another set of grenades. So you're using your items every time you die, which is kind of incentive to play a little more carefully.
Right.
So I don't know if that's going to work out or not. Especially because, like,
something different.
The EVE economy can be very weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still based on the in-game economy, like buying all this stuff.
Right.
One problem, if I'm understanding this correctly, I think you have to buy voice chat.
What?
And it's only like in chunks of time.
What?
Yeah. I mean, they nuts. Were like, there's like the AUR,
wow.
I think is the in-game currency.
Wow, that's crazy.
I mean, there's 1 day, 7 day, and 30 day, and they all cost one. But yeah, that's a bad idea. I mean, I can understand like XP boost. I don't mind that. But voice chat behind a paywall that's limited?
A little weird.
Also, you know what's the biggest pain in the ass?
What so?
It took me 15 minutes to make a character name that wasn't taken.
Really?
Well, because it's, again, it's sharing Eve. So I go to punch an Edge guy, taken, because it's me.
No, that's funny.
So, like, and I've made a few alts throughout the like times I've played that game, so, like, all my usual names are taken. I'm sitting there on a sci-fi random name generator, and, like, it got to the point where I actually started to think this is a bug. Like, it's assuming every name is taken, because there's no way all this stuff was taken. Finally, some gibberish sci-fi name I had that starts with a T that I forget off the top of my head finally went through. It literally took 15 minutes.
Jeez.
I thought that was so weird. But it's free to play, which is a first for the consoles, really, too, so I'm curious to see how this goes.
Right.
But I like the idea of it, and I'll probably stick to it.
We'll see. All right, you ready for the releases, then?
Yes.
All right, so we had Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
I'm curious about this game, too.
Yeah, I think it looks kind of neat. So that's for 360 PC and PlayStation 3. Counter-Strike Go, PC, 360 PC. Did I say PC already? PS3,
yeah, we were true.
Mac, all stuff. New Super Mario Bros. 2, 3DS, Dark Souls, Prepare to Die Edition for the PC.
Oh, that came out?
Mm-hmm. Disciples 3 Gold Edition for PC.
Ooh.
Just generic-looking crap. And this is to be believed, the Snake Eater HD, like, separately is out now for Vita or PS3.
Oh, well, I know the HD collection is on the Xbox. You have to buy the two together, though, but it's like $25.
Cool. Look at this. Next week, we get those Ratchet & Clank and God of War seconds. That Ratchet & Clank one might be fun.
Yeah. They even restored the multiplayer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never really played any of the Ratchet & Clanks until the last one, which I guess was the fifth one, because it was the second PS3 one. I liked it a lot, actually.
Yeah, they're good games.
I thought it was really good.
It was weird for me when I first played them, because I always try to play it more like a Jak and Daxter, but it's really a third-person shooter with platforming.
What is this Roller Coaster Tycoon 3D thing?
I have no idea.
Is this going to be good?
I don't know. That's an ad.
I want to watch the thing.
That's an ad for people looking at office supplies or something.
Well, I'm going to let this ad play.
There's Mitt Romney.
How much did he make? Oh, he's rich.
He made $20 million and paid only 14% in taxes.
That bastard.
Oh, no.
Look at
with a Trump jet, so you know he's a rich jerk.
Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find us at our website at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and at Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. You can also find us at the iTunes Music Store. Please leave us a review.
Also, Friday is our 5-year anniversary.
Right.
So we're going to celebrate next week.
Somehow.
I'm formulating a plan. Watch our Twitter feed for details.
It'll be fun times.
It'll be craziness.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye.
Bye. Done by McDonald's, right?